June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Off a face-off, Anton Lundell behind the net in the offensive end. And he bounces one out front. This one loose. Marchand shot. He scores! And the Panthers are on the board early. Brad Marchand out of the left circle. 56 seconds in. He pounced on a loose puck, and he cashes in. 1-0 Panthers.
Was that an emasculation of the Edmonton Oilers last night? The Florida Panthers trying to win another Stanley Cup championship with a 6-1 beatdown. We had fights, we had penalties all over the place, and we had a blowout.
Yeah, we did, and it's starting to go a little bit like our series did with Edmonton, where, you know, the comeback in game one, where, you know, Stars came back game one and Edmonton came back game one in this series, and then after that it's been all the other team, and that's what it's been. Identical game three scores, 6-1 each. 6-1 the Edmonton beat us, 6-1 Florida beats Edmonton. And this was a clinic. This is what this was. They're just a better team right now, and they are absolutely putting it to Edmonton.
And you love their head coach as well?
Paul Maurice is, I think he's such a great coach. He's such a dry, sarcastic sense of humor. So this is there's a question in here, and it's talking about one of the other players, Barkov, who has not had any points the first two games of this series, and just the... Maybe a Pete DeBoer shot at the end.
Paul, Barkov is at -4 and doesn't have any points in this, in the finals. Are you worried at all about his playing?
We're trading him. No, I'm not at all. There's action at both ends of the ice all the time. And I don't think this is a statistical series because it's not relatable to series than you've played in the past. I mean, the shot attempts, the sheer volume of quality offense driven by both teams. At the same time, both teams are defending very well. So, well, I get a minus on the 4-on-4. It's a heck of a shot block. It's in the back of the net. I didn't bench him. He's good.
A little shot attempt at the end.
Maybe reading into it. I don't know.
Maybe.
You think it was a shot at Pete? I didn't bench him.
Minus on the 4-on-4. Yeah. I didn't bench him.
You know, one of the other things in the wake of Pete DeBoer's firing that we did not bring up, that just in checking social media, fans were furious over, was him basically saying we're not built for that in terms of the retaliation after the Hintz slash. Mm-hmm. And then you look at this, Tolo Chris hit us up and said, good things happen when you beat up McDavid. Panthers would have swept us. And it just made me think about the physicality and how when Pete said that, you basically emasculated your entire team. We're not built to respond off of that.
Right. And they're...
Or look, to them.
He's got it right. They're not a tough team. Like, that doesn't mean they're not tough. It means they're not like agitators, instigators, necessarily fighters. That's, you've got guys who will get chippy.
Jamie.
You know, Jamie will. And, you know, Marchment was, you know, brought in to do stuff like that. But as a whole, like, Florida has, like, everybody on Florida's team seems like they're a rabid dog who hasn't eaten in a week.
So here's the only thing, though, is that when he says we're not built for that, is that him being critical of the play style of his guys and saying, you guys didn't respond the way I wanted you to? Or is he saying, we're not built for that, so I instructed we're not going to do that. We're not going to be chippy back. We're not going to take any retaliation. We're not going to get mixed up in that. And then if that's the case, if that was like a thing that he had said, I don't want you to do this. Well, now you're probably given a lot more context than just Otter as to why players would have been irritated and just said, like, we're going to get punked like this and not respond. We're going to let somebody go after one of our guys and do nothing about it. I could see that being a bigger roster-wide problem at that point.
Game 3 of the NBA Finals is tomorrow night. So how are the ratings stacking up for both of these championship rounds?
All right, so it appears that the networks don't really want you to know the ratings. So Game 1 of the NHL Finals, Stanley Cup. So we're already at Game 3. Game 1 drew 2.418 million. It's down 22% from last year.
Whoa.
Now, to be fair, last year was on ABC. This is on TNT. So it kind of makes sense. In Canada, they got over 4 million for both Game 1 and Game 2. That's 10% of the country. That's like a 30 million people watching here. That's pretty good. It's pretty solid. It's their sport. NBA, Game 2, I have not seen Game 2 ratings for the NBA. But
Game 1 was a dud.
Yeah, it was a big-time dud. We are talking about 8 million.
8.917
or whatever.
Lowest rated and least watched finals opener since they started tracking this in 1988, excluding the COVID series. So
right.
Lowest rated, least watched finals, 9 million people.
9 million. And, you know, we're looking at...
For a thrilling ending.
A tremendous ending. So Game 2, maybe you had more people tune in because of the ending, but those numbers are not out. And that tells me when they don't release them quick, when they're good, they love to release them because the networks release them. But that 8.91 was even lower. That was lower than Rangers Diamondbacks. That got a 9.17, and that was one of the lowest rated World Series we've ever seen. Mavericks last year when they played in Game 1 got over 11 million.
How many?
Now, granted, that was Boston.
How many people were actually tuned in to see that ending though? Like, I would imagine if some people already were like, this is an overwhelming series, and then it spent two full quarters with a double-digit lead, even if it was kind of stagnant. It's a double-digit lead for a dominant team. I wonder how many people even tuned in to stick around for Indiana coming back.
Yeah. It's a good question. I mean, because it wasn't, you know, it was pretty quick. It wasn't like a slow build.
All right. You sent this Tyrese Halliburton voice thing. I'm not hearing it.
Okay.
I'm not hearing it. Explain what this is that has gone viral.
So this is circulating, and it's been circulating throughout the playoffs, and about Tyrese Halliburton's voice. So when he's talking, and he's mentioned, he goes, I don't know what's going on. When he's talking, his voice will shift octaves. Now, this clip may not show some of the other ones where he goes from high pitch to low pitch sounds demonic. All right.
Okay.
But here we go. See if you could pick up on anything where the voice just instantly changes during the interviews.
Here's the thing is, like, we've had to win in so many different ways all year. Mm-hmm. We've had so many weird wins during the regular season, during the playoffs. So
why would that change? Because we're here in the finals. It's not changing. So, you know, we just keep staying at it and just keep believing. And, you know, that's the result we get.
That's weird.
That makes me believe someone hit fast forward or edited that. Probably. It sounded like someone hit a button on the VCR.
It did sound like that, but yeah, like there's other clips. But you know, he like the internet is like, you know, he's born on leap day, so he's obviously strange from the beginning.
Urkel
voice comparisons. Change.
The bigger thing to me with his voice is how much he sounds like at the beginning of that clip. He sounds like, A, he's 45 years old when he talks, I feel like. B, he sounds like Doc to me. Like Doc Rivers. Like, he sounds like younger Doc Rivers before Doc had, like, dropped an octave.
I thought you were saying Doc Brown.
No, Doc Rivers. So, but Doc, that's who he sounds like. When I first heard the clip we were playing at Halliburton the other day, I was like, is this Doc?
During the regular season, during the playoffs, so
why would that change? Because we're here in the finals. It's not changing, so...
That did change, if that was natural.
Yeah.
Right there with one of the post-game interviews. Bobby Lessons... That we could possibly take on how to get to this round.
So Howard
again with Luka.
Howard Beck had done a write up recently over at The Ringer where he just kind of took a look at like how is team building done now in the NBA, because there's a lot of different methods to attack it. And he pointed out, he said that the Pacers in particular are a different kind of contender, and they're more emblematic of what this era of the NBA is, which he says the age of the super team is over. There are no gaudy big threes anymore, at least any good ones, thanks to a new salary cap system that makes it nearly impossible to stockpile stars. Talks about there's no Miami super friends, no Warriors death lineup. He said, in fact, when you look at just who finished in the conference finals, you've got the Oklahoma City, who won the Western Conference. They're the most conventional contender. They've got the reigning MVP, two young co-stars who were drafted by the team in a mix of homegrown talent. Minnesota, who lost to the Thunder. They followed a familiar path. They went and got Anthony Edwards with the number one pick. Then they went and acquired a defensive player of the year. They flipped Karl Anthony Towns for rotation players. Knicks, they went and built through, all right, let's get a free agent acquisition, buy a little bit low on Brunson, build around him with role players that fit. And he said the most unique out of all these, though, in the history of the NBA in terms of the way teams build is probably Indiana, which has been really aggressive acquiring players who are not homegrown, but also don't move the needle for most NBA fans.
Yeah.
He said, in fact, a casual fan perusing the transaction wire in recent years might have mistaken the Pacers for a team aiming for mere competency through a series of seemingly modest moves that in real time would have elicited a respectful nod. And he says that in today's NBA, there's no way to build a contender one way. As you see, like everybody who's contending recently has fit different molds. But
that's a great line, by the way, like that the move's got a respectful nod. Like, okay.
Yeah, he mentioned you got Obi Toppin. Okay, cool. Right, cool. Oh, you paired Siakam with Haliburton? Sure, that seems like it makes sense.
But you get like six of those, and all of a sudden you got yourself a pretty good roster.
But that's the thing. They took homegrown. They were purging guys like, not purging, but you know what I mean? Sabonis. Moving Sabonis. They acquired Brogdon and then flipped Brogdon for Nesmith. And they make all these little moves that just were all about. He said the overriding philosophy for the Pacers has clearly been patience and chemistry. Like, they just look for fits, and they look for patiently building. He said this has been a 10-year buildup of moves that Indiana's made.
And they have to build this way as well because of where and who they are.
Yeah, the market definitely has an impact on that. And that's sort of the way they've built in the past. Like, even those 90s Pacers teams at the end who started getting close, like really close with Reggie. It was Rick Smits and Chris Mullin and Jalen Rose. They were people who had like been acquired and gotten there over time.
Brian Windhorst says there is mutual interest between Jason Kidd and the New York Knicks, Stephen A., on ESPN on which job is better.
I think that when you look at the New York Knicks compared to the Dallas Mavericks, I'm looking at an Anthony Davis. I'm looking at a Lively. I'm looking at a Gafford. Kyrie towards ACL, obviously, he's going to be out for most of next season. But Cooper Flagg certainly offsets that. So we got to look at it from that standpoint. Here's the biggest reason why I would say the Mavs instead of the Knicks. Because the Knicks gave away 5 first-round picks for Mikal Bridges. 4 unprotected. So the assets that you have to improve upon what you have done is not there. I'm looking at Dallas. You're about to grab Cooper Flagg. Anthony Davis is going to be there. Kyrie eventually will be back, assuming he exercises play option or they re-up and sign him, you know, because I hope they re-sign him. He seems happy there. Loves Nico. He deserves his bag. If he's healthy, Kyrie Irving deserves his bag. But in either way you slice it, they've got some pieces there.
So he's picking the Mavs over the Knicks because of the 5 first-rounders.
The 5 first-rounders, which still blows my mind. 4 unprotected? 4 unprotected?
For Mikal Bridges.
If you're the Knicks, though, it's probably the thought process of, this is our window, we're going to capitalize. We're not going to be picking anywhere where you're going to build like consistently with back end. Like, generally, guys picked at the back end of the first round in the NBA, they're not the same kind of contributors.
They're third-round picks in the NFL. It's like every 10 selections.
It was still way too much to give up.
100%. Still way too much
ridiculous.
To give up. But look, I mean, to me, it's always been the Knicks are in the East. The East is easy, especially next year with no Tatum.
I think that's too short-sighted.
Oh, it's definitely short-sighted, for sure.
I understand what you're saying, but two moves can change a conference.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Like, what if Giannis goes to, where does Giannis go?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it was obviously them coming into their own a little bit too, but like to two moves. Holiday and Porzingis made Boston unstoppable last year. It was like instantly, you can't beat them. And it was like, nobody wants to be in the same conference as Boston. Now you look at it and go, Tatum's out. Bill Simmons was talking yesterday, I think it was, where he was like, oh, they may trade Jaylen Brown. Who knows? Jaylen Brown could be out of here. Like, I mean, so Boston's all of a sudden in a period of like, well, this may blow up. So, I mean, it changes rapidly in the NBA.
All right, there it is. Little recap to set you up for a Tolo Tuesday with the NBA Finals tomorrow night. Game 3 in the National Hockey League going to the Florida Panthers in easy, easy fashion. Let's hook you up for turning it on, leaving it on. We got Luke Bryan tickets, and we have another Dallas Cowboys practice preview. They are back out on the field today. Bobby Bell will take you inside the Star, commercial-free in the Expressway with Ask Reddit as well next.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensTclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ask Reddit at 7:40 here on a Tolo Tuesday, commercial-free expressway on your official home of the Dallas Cowboys here on Sean and RJ. And somewhere along the way, we hook you up with Luke Bryan tickets. If you don't win at this hour, you can get them at 9 a.m. as well. But the Dallas Cowboys back on the practice fields, Ford Center at the Star in Frisco. Over to our insider, Bobby Bell.
This will feel a lot like training camp this week, almost like a mini version of it. A mini camp, if you will, is what the Cowboys are getting involved in. This will be, we get 3 days. We get Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, where this is mandatory. So everybody's supposed to be in the building. Whether you're on the field or not, you better be in the building.
Well, I have a good update.
Do you?
From the great Shireen Williams, Micah Parsons, and Trayvon Diggs have reported.
There we go.
They're already there. Shireen on ProFootballTalk.com. They were there to undergo their physical. Both are expected to be in attendance for the mandatory starting tomorrow. Diggs, who could miss most of, if not all, the season with a knee injury, is not cleared for any on-field work. Micah is expected to skip team drills without a contract extension. She also adds that Jerry previously expressed displeasure with Trayvon's decision to rehab in Miami. He did it in 2023 after tearing his ACL. His contract stipulates he must take part in 84.375% of the offseason program in order to avoid a $500,000 de-escalator in his deal. Diggs is believed to be the first player who could see his base salary lowered if the Cowboys enforce the clause.
Did
where the hell did they get that number from?
I'm sure it's like it's a raw number that then it's just broken into a percentage. Like there's some raw baseline so where they need
for 200 days,
something like that.
And
yeah,
breaks. Okay.
Did Shireen? Was that Shireen's line in there that said Diggs expected to miss most, if not all, the season?
Yes.
I don't think that's the expectation right now.
Shots fired, Shireen.
No, I love Shireen. I'm just saying, like, it's completely unclear. But I mean, Stephen Jones and the Cowboys have left open the possibility he could be ready at the start of the season. They just don't know yet.
But they could sit out the meat of the schedule.
I mean, yeah, if you were available for all the games, I would assume so. Yeah. That'd be pretty high up there.
Yeah, because Atolo yesterday said you can't bring Jair Alexander in here and keep Diggs or get rid of Diggs. Well, I would look at it as Diggs insurance if. Yeah. This is close to being true.
If this is close to being true, this makes sense, right? If that makes sense, why they would.
Yeah, I mean, if they felt like they were depleted like that, but I mean, I would think they'd be looking to bail on that contract at that point, like some sort of injury out or something along those lines. But I mean, that'd be huge. Their rhetoric publicly has been that they are not shutting down him potentially being available for the beginning of the season, and it doesn't feel like fluff. I think they just genuinely have no clue right now.
But Shireen says they were at the Star yesterday, so that's good.
So Tommy Yarish over at DallasCowboys.com has his five questions that he has done every week of these offseason practices where he just looks at, these are the five things that we're looking at today. So he has his five questions ahead of Cowboys mandatory minicamp and what we should be monitoring. And number one is, how involved will Micah Parsons be? So we know he's there, just like you were talking about, Sean. But the biggest thing is going to be, will he be on the field at all? Will he do anything on the field? And I don't think so. Hmm. I think he'll be in attendance. He'll probably have a jersey on over, you know, a t-shirt and shorts. I would be stunned if he ever has a helmet on while we're out there. I'd be stunned if he's ever doing anything on the field. But standing there, listening to play calls, doing different things, being involved, absolutely, I could see that being essentially the extent of his involvement, which I think for a lot of people, they know Micah Parsons and his ability. They don't necessarily need to see him out there doing so. They want the classroom work is more what they want. So as long as he's in attendance getting that, I think the Cowboys are probably pretty happy.
Yeah.
Number two, do the Cowboys look to add at positions of need? He says talent acquisition is a 24/7 process for the Cowboys, and there's still areas for improvement on the roster. Defensive tackle and cornerback seem to be the most glaring question mark positions with a lack of depth and injury struggles at both. And this is a critical time. That's going to be one of the things that I'll have my eye on, is this is the last chance for anybody who's here practicing to make enough of an impression on the coaching staff and the front office that they say, all right, we're comfortable for the next 6 weeks until we get to Oxnard. Because this is typically when you get to the end of minicamp, if there's anything you don't feel comfortable about, next week you're working people out and you're signing somebody. And you're just like, let's get somebody signed, give them 6 weeks to get ready and ramped up, but we can't go into training camp with this group of players the way they are. Dallas did that last year at linebacker. They've done it in years past with corner, safety. So I wouldn't be surprised if as they go out there and look at this rotating group of corners that they have with Diggs out, probably not Jair Alexander, but that they bring in some workouts at corners next week if they don't feel great about what they see today. Number three from Tommy Yarish over at DallasCowboys.com and the five things that he's looking for Cowboys minicamp. What kind of progress has Trayvon Diggs made since his injury? Again, he's reported. That's a positive. Number four, how much will the offensive line rotate? This is something that Schottenheimer referenced last week. It was one of those weird drive-by kind of offshoots where, like, why'd he just drop that info? Where he talked about heavier rotation for guys and that he's moving Cooper Beebe around a little bit. He's moving Brock Hoffman in. He's subbing some guys out. He's giving them some reps. We haven't seen that since we've been out there, but we haven't been able to see every practice, so this could be something that he's chosen not to put in front of us. This would be different. This would be mini camp. We're out there for everything. And so if he's going to be doing any rotation, we would see that out here this week. And then number five on this list for Tommy Yarish, will Deron Bland continue to make or take most of the slot corner reps? Something that he said he doesn't want to do. He will, but he's just said, I prefer to play outside, but I'll do whatever. The thing that's interesting to me here when you listen
does
to those
five.
Does
a guy not want to play slot because turning both ways? And
it's definitely, so yeah, I mean, in it's going to be harder in terms of you've got like the entire width of the field basically that you have to cover. It does require a twitchier athlete, usually somebody who can break both ways quickly and follow whatever he needs to do. The thing, yeah, with Bland is he hasn't gotten into specifics as to why. He's just said he's more comfortable outside. I don't know if it's because he likes having the boundary out there and being able to use that as a point of leverage, or if he's got, like Choppy says, the traffic in the middle. Does he not want to get, you know, beat up, bruised in the middle of the field? No telling. But it is something where when three of these five questions are about or reference the cornerback position, that's concerning. That to me says that the corner position is not something that right now you're ready to win with if the season started today.
You have more faith health-wise in Trayvon Diggs or Kyrie Irving's next season?
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Next
staying
year?
Staying healthy or being the same guy when he returns?
How much will they play and being the same guy?
I think Diggs will play more than Kyrie does, percentage-wise for the season. I would imagine that Diggs would still have some like a greater percentage of his remaining ability from what he had been pre-injury, but I would trust that Kyrie's going to maximize it more than Diggs would, and I trust that Kyrie's not as likely to get it hurt as, you know, Diggs would, because Diggs is at this point just showing he gets banged up all the time. And the question is, you have the big knee injury.
Well, not tackling.
Yeah, you had the big knee injury. You then had reports that your rehab wasn't as aggressive as it needed to be. And then you had something else occur with the knee that you needed surgery on. It's like, okay, if you're not rehabbing this the right way and you're not in the building and this continues to be a problem, I have no idea what you'll look like. I think he'll look closer to himself than Kyrie would, just given Kyrie's age and everything else that happened. But there's a legitimate question about how much Diggs has done damage to his rehab.
What do you think, Dr. Choppy, in terms of both those guys coming back for next season? More faith in who? Whom?
I think Bobby's right that I think Diggs plays a higher percentage of the available games. But I think I think it's easier to come back from an ACL in basketball than football. I don't know why I think that, because there's a lot of, you know, cutting, quick twitch.
Yeah.
On both.
Kyrie's especially is going to be a guy who's going to stress that a lot. I would think.
Oh, for sure. But I would say Kyrie would come back as a better player or more close to the original.
Back to Cowboys practice preview with Bobby Belt inside the Star on 105.3 The Fan.
I think something else that we really need to take a look at as we head into this is, what does the rotation look like behind Dak Prescott at quarterback? So this is going to be our biggest look at the team over the course of those 3 days so far this offseason. And Joe Milton has been really physically impressive at times and has shown you all the traits that made Choppy call him what? A more athletic, or Josh Allen, if you're athletic.
If Josh Allen was an athlete, he'd be Joe Milton.
There you go. That's the one. When you see all of that, it's, I swear, maybe it's just some sort of effect that my brain is tricking on me, but I swear when he throws the ball, it sounds like a Nerf football. Like, I hear it whistling through the air. Like, wow. I mean, it's so impressive, the zip that he has on the football. He looks frazzled. He doesn't make the right reads. I wonder if
this is your tone.
If this season started today, I don't know that Milton's starting if Dak got injured. I don't know that he'd be the first one. I think it would probably
better
be
better processor between Joe and Trey Lance.
Man, seen in the practice is Lance. But Lance, so
damn, Chop, sorry, you're on that Tennessee education, bro. Hey, Chop.
Hey, he started at Michigan. Okay, that's where he got his. That's where he was really groomed. Did you see Week 17 last year?
So
where he cost the Patriots the number one pick.
Here's the thing: Lance had very narrow vision. Lance made bad decisions. Lance processing, getting through the progressions, it wasn't as frazzled as it looks with Milton. So, like, I think there's still a little bit of a difference in terms of decision making versus mental processing, like how quickly they get through the progressions, everything else. Lance, to me, was cleaner, at least from what I've seen at this stage, than Milton was. Yeah. But Milton's got a ton of upside and he's shown more. I've seen more highlights in three OTA practices from Joe Milton than I ever saw in the entirety of Trey Lance's time.
Wow. Joe won't throw interceptions because nobody can catch the balls that he throws. They're so far over the head of the receiver, nobody can get him.
Well, he's getting a little cleaner with it because he was picked off last week. Oh, he's not overthrowing nearly as much. There's some miscommunication between him and, I think it was, Princeton Fant.
Miscommunication, that's on the receiver as far as I'm concerned.
But again, it was tunnel vision. Like, I remember watching him when he dropped back and he's looking down the field I was paying attention to Milton and then watching him throw the ball. So I wasn't watching the play develop. But I watched Milton and I was looking at him and I was going, he's staring down somebody. He didn't move his eyes at all. He looked at this guy and he was, and as he was delivering the ball and I looked, then you see Clark step into frame. It's like, oh, he got that old quarterback vision cone on Madden. His was just a beam.
Nothing will ever be as bad as the Lance pick last year. In the flat that he had. That was...
I was going to say, which one? We saw a lot of interceptions from him.
In camp.
Yeah, no, my favorite last year at camp was the one where he's literally just staring directly at somebody in the end zone, throws it into their stomach, and then you hear one of the receivers go, F, after the throw. But, I mean, Milton's going to be a better player over the course of his career than Trey Lance. I don't even care if Milton's processing is worse than Lance's, because just... physically, he's going to get by in a number of ways. Lance just is not a football player to me. He's not a legitimate football player, and that's something where you've upgraded naturally there, even if the processing is something that is still a really big work in progress for Joe Milton. The other thing I'm going to be looking for here while we're out there at practice, last week when we really saw George Pickens get involved, it was when CeeDee Lamb was out. CeeDee Lamb was there present at practice, but he was not involved. He was kind of standing in the huddle, different things like that. I want to see what Schottenheimer talked about last week in terms of CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens and the way they were operating in red zone situations when they've practiced and how exciting it's been for them. I'd like to see some of that with them together on the field. So I don't know why CeeDee Lamb was sitting out last week, if that was just a rest day, what they were doing, if he'll be out there this week or if he'll be similarly resting. But I really want to see what is this fully orbed pass attack look like here at minicamp when Pickens has gotten the steps down, gotten the details down, the particulars, everything else, and he and CD are allowed to just flourish within the offense. I think we're going to start hearing a lot of chatter about how different the offense is from McCarthy and how it's going. Oh. I think it's going to look different this year.
How so?
Well, without dropping too many particulars because of limitations on when we're allowed to identify things or what we're allowed to identify. I just think that it looks different pre-snap. It looks different in a lot of the things they do post-snap. I think the structure will be noticeable. It'll be as noticeable. I'm not saying it's the same comparison. It will be as noticeable as when they went from Linehan to Kellen and how it just looked different. It was completely different.
Yeah, the curl routes went the other way. Yeah,
there's your go-to. There it is. A little mandatory minicamp preview with our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt, on the home of America's team, 105.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tea Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tea Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tea Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972 Go Men's Tea or MensTeaClinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Three the Fan, let's hook you up before Ask Reddit.
Tolo's right now calling number 10 at 877-881-1053. Wins a pair of tickets to see Luke Bryan on Friday, June 20th at the Dos Equis Pavilion in Dallas. That's caller number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Former Ranger executive. What happened to the trio? Are they still boys? John Daniels, AJ Preller, and Thad Levine. Thad went to Minnesota. Rangers twins today on this radio station. Thad will join us on the Fan Cam Twitch and YouTube at 8 to preview that series and give us an idea of what he would be thinking if he was Chris Young with all the starting pitchers and no offense. But it's Brian Broaddus' favorite segment of the week.
Do you have a question, Kelly?
Yeah, I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?
It is time for Ask Reddit. We do this every Tuesday right around 7:40. You can tune in and you can answer some of the most viral questions being asked over on Reddit. What did I do, Sean?
You didn't do anything. And I don't want to call attention to any particular show. Just these TV shows with someone gets sat down.
Yeah.
Someone gets sat down at the beginning of the year and says, you need to write a Cowboy topic for every single day. I don't care whether they make news or not. Just, will Dak Prescott go scorched earth this season? Every day I look up, there is a forced Cowboy topic on TV. I just want to know who's responsible, who's been given the job of force feeding it.
Hembo, probably, I would guess. Yeah. He's the big Cowboys push, I would assume. It's
someone green, he gets to shine his shoes. Man,
they've got like three shows a day they got to do this for, too. I mean, that is exhausting. That takes a lot of prep. You got to come up with a lot of different angles. So, all right, we're going to ask right here. You can give your answers on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorneys fan text, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. You can also weigh in on the Twitch and on the YouTube, and we'll kick them around the studio here. RJ Choppy.
Bye, Bill.
Why do men like having the house all to themselves?
Because we feel like we don't feel like we have to like entertain. Like if I need to get the lawn mowed, okay, I could do it and I could take my time doing it. I don't feel like I have to rush to get back inside.
Yep.
Because yeah, like, I like to hang out with her. I don't want to leave her all alone in the house by herself. So I just feel like I could get things done that I need to do that she wouldn't be a part of or doesn't need to be a part of. So I don't feel like I'm abandoning her.
Okay. Sean, what's your answer for this? Because I know you're a big fan of the house all
day. So many lessons. I mean, so many possibilities, so many reasons. I love just random alone time here and there. Like, I was expecting Amanda to wake up yesterday. I went to the living room, and I just wanted... Yesterday, I said, all right, I got no Rangers game. Can be an early night. Y'all send your emails. I was like, let's just catch up on our reality TV garbage. Let's, you and I, watch TV together. She feels nauseous. The baby starts coughing. My son is in our bed, kicking and moving, and the whole night of entertainment got ruined and messed up. I just want to have like an hour and a half, 2 hours of just looking at the TV. Dumb television, as RJ would call it. Brain off, not interacting. So at like 9:30 at night, I went into the living room and just put on The Last Dance. I'm like, yeah, let me just, and I was expecting her to go out there, and I'm like, I need a little bit of like alone time. Now she might say, you get it when you get home at 10:30 or 11 until the kids get home, but I'm eating lunch, I'm crashing out. Yesterday I'm dealing with bills, all the mail, and then I always start the email prep when I get home. I'll get my computer out and I'm like, all right, what 25%? Because that's my anxiety. I'm like, what can we get done for the next day? Get it out of the way. But just you feel like a caveman. You mm-hmm. feel like you're just walking around your place.
It's to me, the biggest thing for me is like...
But for me, it's also like a cooking project. Like, I become a master at... I can cook around my family's schedule now. I know when my daughter's going to go to sleep, I can get this done, soak the rice. And then when she gets up, I don't need to do this. And then I can preheat the oven during that. And then she's going to go back to sleep, like grilling as well. Like, you can do your project.
You segmented it all out like a Food Network
yes.
show. Yes. That's what you got to do.
My life is nothing but segments.
This, to me, the biggest thing is that Bill Burr had a bit about this years ago where he was talking about his dad and how insane his dad's temper was. And he's like, I used to think, like, he's nuts. He's like, then the older I got and I felt the responsibility of, like, maintaining a house and having to provide. So he's like, I'm honestly surprised the guy didn't snap more. And I think that's the thing. There's just so much going on that there's so much responsibility all the time that it's just like, I want isolated, quiet, like no,
yes.
no interaction, no responsibility, anything else. Just like, let me decompress and
for the
just
dads,
exhale.
For
Bill
the
Burr's dads, dad or Billy Corgan's dad?
Bill Burr's dad, not Billy Corgan.
For the dads who are like, I want alone time. I want quiet time for Father's Day. I get it.
I get it. The most common answers on the fan text we're getting so far, to walk around naked. That's a big one. And then the other one is, why do they like have the house load? Because there's no one to nag me is what we're getting a lot. Peyton, your answer here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have kids yet, so I can't really use that as the excuse just yet. But maybe in the future, I'll be able to relate to that. But yeah, it's just so I can relax. Just, I mean, there's not a whole lot of better feelings out there than just being able to kick your feet back on the couch, sit, you know, you got no shoes on, nothing. You got the TV on as like background noise. You can be on your phone. You just got no one talking to you. Like Bobby said, just decompress a little bit. Just no noise, no talking, no nothing. I don't want any dogs there, nothing. Just let me be alone.
All right, we're going to ask Rhoda here on 105 through the fan. Sean Sharif. What's a house rule you thought was dumb or annoying as a child that you implement as an adult?
A house rule?
Mm-hmm. Maybe irritated you as a kid, and then when you grew up, you're like, all right, I kind of get it. I'm going to live by this.
I do want people to either be shoeless or have clean feet when they put their feet up on my furniture. When they come in, I don't let people walk in the house and put their feet up if they have shoes or sandals on. I'll say something too.
Yeah.
I say it to my wife sometimes. If she just like does the leg under the other leg and sit on the couch, I'll just like stare at her sandal. And my dad was anal about this. Like I had to come in the house and go to the bathroom and put my feet in the tub. Like I don't make people wash their feet, but you got to have your shoes off or your sandals off if you put your feet on the furniture. So it's annoying when you're young, but... That's how the way I am when I'm paying for my own stuff now.
Our parents are totally different. My dad was shoes on. He would wake up in the morning on every day, shower, get fully dressed, shoes on, ready to go. He never took his shoes off.
Shoes on?
He would lay on the couch.
My dad has sandals on at all times in the house.
Sneakers. He'd be laying on the couch, feet up, sneakers. He always had them on.
How is that comfortable? How's that more comfortable?
He said it's fine. He goes, you want to be ready in case somebody busted the door. You had to run.
And what about your dirty feet on the furniture? Your dirty feet in the bed. Even people who like pass out. Anthony DiVincenzo, old sales guy.
Yeah.
I remember him at one of my early pool parties. He went and like passed out in my bed. I'm like, shoes off. you can crash in here. I don't care if you sleep in the bed, but your shoes got to be off.
He didn't care. He didn't care about the comfort.
Cleanliness.
He didn't care about that.
Did it drive your mom crazy?
She didn't. She wasn't going to say anything.
And happy birthday, Luann.
Yes, my mom, her birthday.
Happy birthday, Choppy Mom.
Something.
70-something.
72.
And also the TV time. Like, I was allowed to watch one night a week of television, try to reserve it for Monday Night Football. And then when I'm looking at my kid over in the iPad, yes, it shuts them up, but I'm like... I don't want to turn him into a zombie because there's times he turns into a zombie.
Good,
so
yeah.
I get it. The lack of TV time you hate growing up, and now we all get it.
We weren't allowed to handle the remote. Mine is we weren't allowed to handle the remote. My dad was always like, no kids handling the remote. And I was like, silly, why? I cannot stand when the kids handle the remote in our house now. Because they lose it. They'll walk around with it. They'll just have it in their hand and they go to do something. Then it's like, where's the remote? Why can't I find it? Or they'll just start turning it up or turning it down. It's like, I had it where I wanted. Stop touching it.
As we're talking about that real quick, my wife just sends me the good morning text. She always sends me a picture of one of the kids. It says Elmo trance.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it is. You want to try to avoid the trance here and there, and my daughter's in an Elmo trance.
So it wasn't really a rule, but my dad would always tell me, you mentioned the remote, when I had the remote, I would always take off the battery cap.
I do. I would do that
always
too.
Always do that.
Yep.
And my kids do this all the time. Yep. And it annoys the hell out of me.
Yep.
Because
you gotta get a scotch tape on the back.
He took one off and the dog ate it. So now it's like, all right, now I got the scotch tape on the back or whatever.
Yep.
So it's not really a rule. I just always got scolded for it. And now my kids do it.
Did you ever have the pliers to change the TV?
It might be a nervous habit. It might be some type of anxiety.
Yeah, it might be.
Was that a Texas thing only, or did you guys do the pliers to change the TV when the knob would inevitably break off on one of the old ones?
I don't think a knob ever broke off.
Ugh, you big East Coast snobs, East Coast elites. The knobs on the TV where you used to have the... why I said East Coast elites. So you'd have the little knobs. When those things would break off if kids were flipping them too hard... It would just have this little nub left, and you had to get pliers and grip it and be able to change the TV that way. Peyton, what's the house rule you didn't like as a kid that now you implement?
Yeah, and the 214 agrees with me on this one, as they said the same thing, but turning the lights off in rooms that I'm not in. Because, I had the habit of doing that. I'd turn on the dining room. I'd be in there. Then I'd leave, go to my room. My mom would come upstairs and be like, were you the last one in the dining room? I was like, well, maybe I might have been. And then she's like, well, why did you turn off the lights?
Yeah.
And so I didn't get it at first. I was like, why couldn't you just turn off the lights yourself? But then now I know, paying for bills myself now, that lights got
to
come off.
I want you to do an experiment. I want you to turn the lights on, leave them on all you want. Leave them on for a month and then turn them off all you want for a month. And I don't think your bill's going to look as radically different as you think.
It's not about that to me. It's about two things. Number one, two things. Number one, I don't want to replace the bulbs earlier than I need to. Okay. I hate light bulb replacement. I hate it. I'm petrified right now. I've been in the house a year. I don't exactly know what the lights are. I don't want to study what the brand is and then go to the store and then pay out the you know what and then get up there on the. I hate that. So I don't want the light burn out until as late as possible. It's a mentality thing. I don't want my kid. I want finish what you're doing. So don't leave the TV on and leave the room. Like, to me, it's a...
Put your toys away when you're done using them.
It's a mindset thing. It's not the bill. It's, hey, don't leave the dish there. Put it in the sink. It's finishing things.
It drives Krista nuts. I will leave the kitchen light on every night. On purpose.
I leave all the lights on.
When I wake up and I come, I don't want it to just be pitch black. I want the light on. Or if I'm usually sitting up, even if I'm in the living room, I want the glow
But that's a
from
purpose.
There.
That's a purpose. It's not... It's not absent-minded.
Yeah, it's not.
We need to get you a timer, Bobby, that you can have like a lamp or something. I have those all over my house. Wow. It pops on at 4 a.m. and then it shuts off at 5.
Yeah, because he's got a smart house or whatever he was talking about.
The richest poor life I've ever heard of anyone. I got four couches. I got this. I got that. I got turn-on lamps.
We are doing Ask Her to Hear on 105 Through the Fan. Peyton Russell, this can be sports or otherwise. Peyton, who has the worst fan base?
I really thought about this one, but it's Philadelphia. It really is. I mean, those snobs out there, I respect the passion, but they're just evil, man. I mean, if you're wearing, it could be any team. Doesn't matter if your team sucks that year or is good. Like, they will just go after you, man, and they want to kill you. It's crazy.
Kayvon Thibodeau the other day in Kevin Hart's Ice Tub said, is it true that Eagles fans are actually, not smart, not no BS? I know you're one of them, Kevin, but there are actual statistics that you guys are literally effing idiots. That was from Kayvon Thibodeau, who's always yapping.
Chop, what do you got here? The worst fans, sports, music, entertainment, whatever else.
I initially just went to sports, but now that you mentioned it, it's political, dude.
Thank you.
Far right and far left guy.
Thank you.
They are the absolute worst because you can't reason with them.
No.
They complain. The other side does something and they do the same thing.
Yep.
But they criticize the other and not their own. They're the absolute worst.
Look what's happening in Los Angeles right now. I can already tell you what the talking heads and each side is going to say.
Yep.
It's the same argument. Well, but you did it and then that and the deflecting and then this and moving the goalposts. That's the answer.
So that's a good one. The only, I guess, why I didn't go with that one is because my thought is...
Well, your guy did this in 05. Here's the video.
Yeah.
It's ideology to me more than I don't even think most of the issues that they get worked up about, they love the issue or anything. They're not a fan of it. They're or even a fan of the politician. They're more just like, this is the ideology and it's right and wrong and I'm going to make sure we drive this home. So I was thinking more fan bases with entertainment, things like that. I didn't want to go to sports because the worst fan base in existence is Taylor Swift.
That's what Amanda said.
The Taylor Swift fans are nuts. If I were to tweet right now just some random side swipes to Taylor Swift, my mentions would be filled instantly with people who do not follow me, who just search her name,
which is kind of impressive.
Search it, find her name, and go nuts. Super angry about stuff like that.
Yeah.
Over on the fan text, 936 says the San Francisco Giants, worst baseball fans, not even close. We've got the New York Yankees on here from the 214. 903, Taylor Swift fans are the worst. All right, we're doing Ask Reddit here on 105 through the fan.
You can By the win. Way, I'm making Boston fan worse than Philly fan.
Yeah, I agree.
I've made Boston fan worse than Philly fan in my mind.
Sure, I agree with that. We're doing Ask Reddit here on 105 through the fan. You can weigh in 877-881-1053 or on the Twitch and on the YouTube. RJ Choppy, which album is a straight masterpiece from start to finish? No skips.
Look, there are contenders in here. Like, start to finish, no skips. Like I could listen to Dark Side of the Moon from start to finish without, like, not skipping a beat.
Would you watch Wizard of Oz with it?
I have. Jagged Little Pill is a great one. Pet Sounds is great.
Pet Sounds.
Under the Table and Dreaming. But there is one, because of the impact, that I think stands above all else when this is the probably fourth most famous song on the album. I want to love you. Pretty young thing. The Thriller album is so good. It, from Beat It to Billie Jean to Thriller and then this. I mean, that is, you can't top it.
That is a great answer.
I don't think you can top it.
There's literally only one song of it. The Lady in My Life at the end of the album I don't like. And so that's it got disqualified for him because of that one. Over on the Fantex U2, Joshua Tree from the 214. Ew. Confessions by Usher says 214. Over on the YouTube.
Steve Dennis write that one
Austin Lee says Carter 2 and Carter 3. Sean, did you have an answer for this?
No
answer. Peyton, what do you have here?
So I might be a little biased. I just saw this guy in person not too long ago, but Post Malone. And it's this album that came out, Beer Bongs and Bentleys, when I was about, a junior in college. But this is probably the best song. It's played everywhere nowadays, all over the place. But this is one of his best songs on the album. You probably think that you are better now.
You only say that because I'm not around. Aiden is agreeing. I can see with the head nod in the back.
It's a great song.
And it might just be because, like, my music taste isn't there. And I agree with it. Like, it's not the greatest. But, I mean, like, there's bops, like, all throughout this album, man. It's really, really
bops?
Good. Bops.
It's a bop.
What is that?
Like, jam. It's the younger kids' jam. This was a great song. It was ruined for me when Taylor Swift, I saw a video of her interacting with Post Malone saying she loved the song. So that ruined it for me.
She seems great.
My answer is, like I said, I was thinking Thriller was the one I was going to go with. And then I was like, no, there is a skippable. And then it dawned on me while I was driving in and an album came on. I was like, I love every single song on this. And it would be the Don Caluminati 7 Days. More to be free than a life in the pen, making money off of cuss words, writing again. Learn how to think ahead, so I fight with my pen. This is such a masterpiece of an album, and it's posthumous, obviously. He recorded it before he died, but it's Tupac, the Don Caluminati. This to me was by far his best album. I used to hate it as a kid. I thought it was too, like, raw and rugged compared to some of the cleaner stuff that he had done, like, production wise but that is way up there for me. Some of the other answers that we've gotten: Highway to Hell from AC/DC says 915. A lot of Good Kid, Mad City on the fan text has come through, and then Nas, Illmatic from the 830.
Ask Reddit every Tuesday at this time during the commercial free expressway here on Sean and RJ, along with our Cowboys insider Bobby Roberto Bell. We have another Luke Bryan ticket giveaway at 9 a.m. So if you have to do something over the course of the next hour, set the alarm for that, or better yet, just turn it on, leave it on, and get hooked up. Let's get you set for Rangers Twins with former Rangers executive. How is Chris Young viewing things with the desperate offense needed for your Rangers? Thad Levine is back on the home of the Rangers after this.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.